Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve, how are you doing this week?
Well, we're doing great and getting ready for that trip into Ruidoso for our pre-primary convention. But all in all, things are going well for us.
I don't normally pay attention to these press releases that we get to the radio station, but this one, I couldn't help it, and so I have to ask you to respond to this. This is from the Democrat Party of New Mexico. The GOP has no plan for rising costs. And so, one, of course, that's not true, but two, who caused the rising costs?
The rising costs caused by Joe Biden and his inflationary policies. In fact, the national media has termed that the Bidenflation. Yeah, we've got a plan for it. Elect Republicans. That's easy enough. And under Trump, prices were low, wages were high, the highest ever for minority workers. So the Democrats have ruined the economy. They've ruined the border. They've ruined our international relations. They're in the process of letting the Russians take over Ukraine, it looks like, if they say y'all are at fault. No, they're in charge of the House, the Senate, and the White House. And so the American public knows what they're doing when they make these kind of comments.
There's a precedent to this. The last time we had inflation this high was under Jimmy Carter. And as you say, to fix it, we elected a Republican named Ronald Reagan, and he did fix it.
And he did fix it for a generation. He fixed the not only the U.S. economy, but the world economy. Remember, he and Margaret Thatcher agreed that they were going to collapse the Russian empire and basically did. It's easy to know what the GOP plan is for fixing the Democrat problems. Just elect Republicans. Simple.
And last week you talked about the Republican values, so folks can go on Spotify and check that out and find out why Republicans can fix what the Democrats can't. There's a Reagan Foundation, and there's some interesting things going on there. Tell us about that.
Yes, the Reagan Foundation and Institute has inaugurated a series of speeches just last spring that talks about the future of the Republican Party. It's called A Time for Choosing, and it has turned into be a pretty great and lively success. Americans are at a crucial high-stakes moment right now in our history, and that's caused by the events of 2020. That's the pandemic, the wokeness, the crime, the inflation, schools, the illegal immigration, all of those problems that are brought on us by the left, and it is a time for choosing. So in the Reagan Foundation Institute speeches, they're pointing out that the Republican Party is poised to rise and rise significantly. And so it's talking about what is our job? What should be our approach? Number one, just be sane. Stand against the excesses that are coming from the Democrat Party and the left, from the socialists. Be sane and be normal. Be worthy of leadership. Be centrist in our mood and in our attitude. I think Republicans, a lot of times, we vote correctly, we have the right ideas, but we let our comments, we let our rhetoric drift out to the edge of the spectrum that people feel comfortable on. So just keep our tone right. Our policies are correct. Trump showed us that. His tone was too tough, but his policies really lifted the country in a way that it hadn't been lifted in generations, actually, since Ronald Reagan. Be the party of parents. We should be the ones that are protecting the right of parents to speak at the school board meetings and the ones to control their kids' education. We should be the party of the unprotected, not just the unborn, but the unprotected among society. We should be the party of the strivers, people who want to succeed and who don't want to be oppressed. We're seeing that in our truckers' convoys. They're just saying, hey, we're tired of the government telling us everything that we have to do. And so people are standing up there, and the Republican Party should help be that voice. But we also ought to be the voice of the creators, the people who don't want to be thwarted in their efforts to make what they consider to be a success. Keep in mind that not all of us consider success the same way. To some, success is money in the bank. To others, it's a home that's paid for. To even others, it's the family that is well balanced and that the kids are not into drugs and into crime. So success is really individual, but none of us want to be thwarted in reaching what our dreams are. I know for my father, he was a sharecropper when I was born, and his kind of lifelong dream was to have his own farm. While he was working for Humble in the oil field, is just a roustabout kind of the entry level, and he always dreamed about having that farm. So when I was 9 years old, he and Mom bought a little 5-acre farm south of Hobbs, 5 acres, and that's where we grew up. To other people, that little 5 acres would have meant nothing, but to him, it meant self-sufficiency. It meant self-actualization. When we got that, then he spent the rest of his life, he would work 8 hours in the oil field every day, and then he'd come home and work another 5 or 6 hours in the field, plowing the fields, getting the vegetables planted. He would take care of our pigs. And that 5 acres then was able to provide for a family of 8, 6 children and 2 parents. Now, if the government owned that 5 acres, it would have just laid out there fallow. You see government land all the time that is of no value. It's not used. But if you turn that over to individuals, they're able to find their success in life. And that's what the Republican Party should be, just representing normal, everyday people who want to live their life quietly, raise their family in the proper way, and go to church on Sundays, send their kids to schools, get them an education where they can do better in the next generation. And so that's who we as Republicans are, and that's who we should be seeking to represent. So I think that the Reagan Foundation and Institute is exactly on track, and it's very fitting that it would be doing this project at this time, because Reagan himself was that kind of visionary who understood where the party needed to be and where it needed to go. He recognized that he had a tremendous opportunity with the high inflation of Jimmy Carter, with the high prices, that he could change a generation, and he did. And so kudos to that Reagan Foundation and Institute for implementing what everybody knows to be the case, this choosing point that we all find ourselves at here in the country today.
And just as a point, a time for choosing was a speech that Ronald Reagan gave, and I suggest our listeners search that online. It's a great speech that Reagan made on television. He was stumping for Barry Goldwater at the time, but it was called A Time for Choosing.
Ideas have the ability to really change the pathway of a nation. Abraham Lincoln did that. With a simple idea, became president and changed the course of the country by saying that one human shouldn't own another human. He was the first Republican and just one of many noteworthy Republicans who have changed the course of this country.
You mentioned the truckers in Canada, and I wanted to point out, too, that nobody has been killed and no buildings have burned in this protest. Just to point out the difference between this protest and some others, but apparently Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, is acting kind of like a dictator here.
Yeah, very much so. He is becoming heavy-handed, and it was embarrassing to him, I think. And he did what all leftists do when they get embarrassed. They start using force. So in just a very peaceful demonstration last week, the comments on social media said that he has actually told his police to target the press. And if you have watched the left, if you watch the BLM, the Antifa demonstrations, they do the same. Anybody's out there trying to get video footage to show America what they're really about, then they attack them viciously. Well, that's what Trudeau had his police do. So this news reporter for the Rebel News, Alexa Lavoie, the police came up to her, saw her camera, saw her writing notes, and whacked her 3 times over the head with the batons, but then shot her point blank with the tear gas canister. She was injured badly with that, and that's what Trudeau is now doing to the demonstrators, but especially to the police, because he can't stand the fact that people are reporting on how bad the conditions are in Canada, and a few people, the truckers, are standing up to that. Worldwide, it's going to be the very same thing, because the leftists are generally very organized from a world perspective. So as we see that targeting of the media in Canada, we know that it's either here already or coming here. And we've seen instances of people being targeted for trying to speak the truth. Prager University is always targeted by the left because they're reaching so many young people. And young people view 2 or 3 videos and they are changing their minds and saying, wait, I'm going to leave this leftist movement because that's not how I really believe deep down. So a lot of effect, but we are definitely at a time for choosing.
Steve Pearce and I will be back in just a moment to talk about why people are leaving. That's next on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business, and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico. I'm talking with Steve Pierce, the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico. And Steve, National Public Radio, NPR, did a story on people leaving. Why are they leaving and where are they going?
Yeah, people are leaving their blue neighborhoods in order to find places where they're more compatible, where the people look at them more friendly. There is a Facebook page called Conservatives Moving to Texas. It's got thousands of people on it. And one of the ladies is pointing out, we were driving toward Texas across the country. And as soon as we crossed the state line and stopped for the first fuel break, she said people were going around acting normal. She said there were no masks and there were no people looking at you for not wearing a mask and making comments. So the people are desperate for freedom. That's what the truckers' convoy is about. Convoys all over the world are forming, but they're just wanting this sense that, yes, we've got the COVID among us, and it's going to be here for a long time, and that's no reason to quit living our lives. It's no reason to shut down the economy. It's no reason to make our kids wear masks at school. And so we found that the governor has stopped her mask mandate in the schools, and I'm sure she is reading the polls. Nationwide, the Democrats are suffering because just the mask mandate by itself, forget the CRT, parents are angry about that too. But when the governor blinked and revoked her mask mandate, it was a significant moment in this coming election because she recognizes she's behind in the polls.
It's very interesting, too, with our legislative session just ending here in New Mexico. Seems like a lot of the progressive bills got shot down, and not just by Republicans, but some Democrats. Is the pendulum starting to swing the other way?
Absolutely. Conservative Democrats may not say they're conservative. They have to say they're progressive from the party point of view, because the Democrat Party actually has become very radical in that way. If you don't pony up and toe the progressive line, they'll simply run somebody against you and get somebody more socialist, more Marxist in your place. But the fact that she couldn't get major pieces of legislation through, the voting bill failed in the last day, the Clean Fuels Act, that was going to drive the price of gasoline up significantly. The Republicans joined with just a couple of Democrats and saved the New Mexico people a lot of money, because these taxes were going to be very expensive. The voting bill was going to make it easier to cheat, not easier to vote. And so kudos to the Republicans and to those few Democrats who would stand up against their team. So it had to be stinging defeats for the governor. And as she saw that session gavel to a close, then she also announced that the mask mandate was going to be dropped. And so it looked like that she was admitting the failure of her policies on the last day of the session when she matched the closing with dropping that mask mandate.
It seems to me, and I'm curious your perspective, when our governor has to run for re-election, she starts taking on conservative ideas, like getting rid of the tax on Social Security and dropping the gross receipts tax 0.25%. Those are generally Republican bills, not Democrats.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And it's, again, straight out of the Democrat elected official playbook. Coming close to election, you have to talk like a conservative, because this nation is basically center-right. It's not center-left, as a lot of the media claims. All the polls show that people agree with the conservative views more than they agree with the liberal views. And in fact, there's a fascinating article right now in the 60 Plus Association, that's Saul Anuzis' newsletter. He's talking about the parent revolt. And he says they're voting, but also grandparents are voting with their kids in order to preserve their grandkids' future. So this parent revolt is now working its way through three generations. And basically, it's based on the mask mandates. The boys playing in girls' sports, we're seeing that boy that is setting all kinds of records in the swimming for girls. I'm sorry, but that's just false. It's not a true statement at all. He's not a girl just because he thinks he is. And so people are fed up with that. They're fed up with defunding the police. They're fed up with the open border, where COVID is rampantly crossing the border and being distributed across the country by the federal government. They're sending people in buses and planes all across the country carrying their COVID with them. The list just goes on and on. And the basic feeling is that the Democrats have just gone too far. Again, as we talked about, the time for choosing Republicans right now, just be sane, be normal, avoid the excesses that the Democrats are putting into place, and the country is going to be okay, and we, the party, are going to find ourselves at the place we should be.
60 Minutes had done a report with President Trump when he was president, and he was talking about that he had been spied on both at Trump Tower and in the White House. And Leslie Stahl said, no, that never happened. We have no proof of that. And he says, all you got to do is go down and look at the papers. No, this is 60 Minutes. We don't do stuff like that. We go with the facts. She wouldn't do it. And so everybody thought, well, Trump's just paranoid and it's just the way he is. Nobody's spying on him. Who cares? And now John Durham has come up with this report that shows, of course, that he was being spied on. But I want to play our listeners this clip, Steve, of 60 Minutes. Now, knowing what we know now, and you listen how insistent Leslie Stahl is on 60 Minutes that, oh, no, that never happened.
The biggest scandal was when they spied on my campaign. They spied on my campaign,
Leslie.
Well,
there's no real evidence of that.
Of course there is. No. It's all over the place. Leslie,
sir,
they spied on my campaign and they got caught.
Can I say something? You know, this is 60 Minutes. And we can't put on things we can't verify.
You won't put it on because it's bad for Biden.
We can't put on things we can't verify.
Leslie, they spied on my campaign.
Well, we can't verify that.
It's been totally verified.
No.
It's been, just go down and get the papers. They spied on my campaign. They got caught.
No.
And then they went much further than that, and they got caught. And you will see that, Leslie. And you know that, but you just don't want to put it on the air.
No, as a matter of fact, I don't know that.
That's the role that the media has placed itself in. They're no longer media. They're no longer journalists. They're simply lapdogs or mouthpieces for the Democrat Party. And they could not admit that the spying was going on because they were pushing this whole Russiagate investigation. And now that Russiagate has turned into the Clinton Gate because Durham, he's the special prosecutor. He's the guy in charge. He's the one that's digging into all the records and the phone calls, the text and the emails. He's the one unraveling it all, and he points out that it was Clinton operatives who were paid by the Clinton campaign to spy on Trump, not only while he was still in the Trump Towers, but also when he was in the White House. You wouldn't find any of this in the mainstream media because they simply refused to cover it, because that's, again, the role they've taken on to be the mouthpiece of the Democrat Party. But people are understanding it, they're knowing it, and they're responding at the ballot boxes. You can see it in last November's election across the country. You can see it in this last week when the school board, the progressives in San Francisco, of all places, were kicked out. They were recalled. The people said, we don't want any more progressive policies for our schools. We just want our kids back in school. And so it's playing out in a very harsh way for the Democrats.
With this John Durham report, I'm curious where Bob Woodward would stand on all of this. Do you think the people that spied on Trump and paid for the spying on the Trump campaign and administration should go to jail, just like they did in Watergate?
Yeah, I think they should go to jail. I absolutely think so. And I think Bob Woodward would be right with the rest of the press. I don't think he would have any courage at all speaking truth against the power of the Democrat Party. He had the courage to speak against Republicans. But as a member of the media, I don't think he could speak truth to power in today.
We'll take a quick break, and when we return, we'll be talking about why Vladimir Putin didn't try to invade Ukraine while Donald Trump was president. That's next on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party, Steve Pierce. And Steve, we go back to Russia. Russia, Russia, Russia. Trump's tied in with Russia and he's Putin's buddy. Putin did not try to invade Ukraine while Trump was in office. He did not put 100,000 troops on the Ukraine border, but he is now. And yet, President Biden said he was going to get tough with Putin and Russia.
Because Putin knows if I am president of the United States, his days of tyranny and trying to intimidate the United States and those in Eastern Europe are over. I'm going to stand up to him. He's a bully, just like the president. And I know he doesn't want me to be president, but to tell you what, when I'm president, things are going to change.
You have to understand that elected officials who are Democrats, progressives, leftists, socialists, whatever they happen to be, they will talk like conservatives, but the world knows that Biden is not going to do anything, that he doesn't have the courage. He doesn't understand the use of military power. He doesn't appreciate it. The left doesn't appreciate it at all. They feel like that it's something that we shouldn't even have a military superiority. And so he's not going to do that. And the Russians know it. And they're simply moving their way right up to the Ukrainian border. And Biden is sitting here and flexing his muscles. But the Russians know the truth. So those artillery shells are already flying over the border. I was watching an interesting clip with a journalist who had been up there sort of like they're on a picnic, not understanding the real concept of what war is. And they were literally running in a queue, 15 or 20 in this row, running for cover, trying to get far enough back that the artillery shells might not fall on them. And that's what we're going to see more of. Biden is weak and the world knows it.
But again, I go back to this. Putin did not try to do this while President Trump was in office. What was Trump doing where Putin didn't invade?
Yeah, Trump was strong and people knew it around the world. They knew it. He said something and he meant it. So you didn't get the bullies around the world operating the way they are today because Trump meant business. He would put sanctions into place. He would put troops into place. Whatever it took, he was going to maintain order because the U.S. is really the world's only superpower. And as such, we can act like we're not that, which is what the Democrats try to do. That was what Obama tried. It's what Biden is trying. But when we act like we don't have the power, then what we do is leave a void and the bullies in the world stand up, like communist China, like Russia, like Iran, like Venezuela. And so Trump understood the use of power, the use of restrained power, and he was very effective at it. So you didn't have this great political instability around the world.
I understand President Biden wants to shut down Guantanamo. Is that a good idea or a bad idea?
No, it's not a good idea. We keep some of the world's most dangerous criminals over there. And of course, that's what the left wants to do. They're turning loose prisoners out of jails and prisons here in the U.S. And so it's just an extension of that principle that says we've got to shut down Guantanamo Bay. The people who have been released out of there generally are recognized terrorists. They have been masterminds in different plots around the world. They are some of the most dangerous, vicious people killing innocent civilians in every country. And Guantanamo Bay keeps them really separated out. It's there on Cuba, keeps them separated out from the world's population. And so when Joe Biden says we're going to close it, he's simply giving in to the left around the world who says we want those terrorist leaders back out to where they can do their damage. That's the belief of the leftists. And so we just continue to point out when Joe Biden has very foolish ideas, we'll point them out to the audiences here in New Mexico.
As I understand it, too, if you're on Guantanamo, you're not on American soil, so you don't have the same rights as if they were to bring, say, the prisoners onto the continental United States. Then there's a whole different set of rules on how you deal with that.
It was one of the debates that we had in Congress while I was there. The left, again, the Democrats, wanted to give them constitutional rights, and we as Republicans said that's a bad idea. These are dangerous people, and the Constitution doesn't apply there. It applies to American citizens on American soil. So we were able to defeat it. But always, the left is constantly trying to rewrite history, trying to rewrite our rules. And that one rule is among them. Fortunately, they have not been able to get that done.
And on a final note, there's a story in the Daily Mail you wanted to bring up about foster parents. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, anytime you see these really neat stories. So this couple that were foster parents brought in a couple of girls, and all the clothes the girls had were in a trash sack, and they didn't fit. They were old and worn out, hand-me-downs. And so this young mom started a store called Blossom, in which she takes in free clothes and gives them out free to the young girls around the country. So donations come in, and the gifts go out. I've watched that foster care system, and here in New Mexico, Mexico, the foster parents are treated abysmally, and the kids are treated abysmally by our CYFD, and we've had many stories on this program. It's another program that the Democrats have simply ruined, and Michelle Lujan Grisham does not know what to do about it, and so she just lets it continue to operate, and our kids suffer, but the foster parents suffer too. So kudos to this young family who has created the Blossom Store. Go online and take a look at it, because that's the sort of thing that makes America great.
Thank you, Steve Pierce, chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico. And we got an email about the show to the Republican Party of New Mexico. It came from George Garcia in Grants. We in Grants know him as Gunny Garcia. And it was in response to last week's program. We were talking about electric cars having a long way to go between Gallup and Albuquerque before they can get a charge. And Gunny says that we forgot to mention that there's a place in between called Grants where you can charge your car. And, of course, that is true. There are some charging units at the Walmart in Grants. But Steve was just referring to the long distance between Gallup and Albuquerque where your car may run out of charge. And, of course, Steve Pierce and I both know where Grants is, since I own the radio station you're listening to this on in Grants. And Steve Pierce was our congressman for many years and used to come to KMIN in Grants and do interviews with me. But to Gunny Garcia, thanks for the email. He is running for city council in Grants. And I, too, used to get frustrated when I would watch the weather on the Albuquerque TV channels. And they would show the temperature in Gallup and Albuquerque, but not in Grants. So I understand what you're saying. Now, for folks who've been listening to us today, may not even be Republicans, but find they're agreeing with a lot of the things we've been talking about. If you'd like to find out more information about the Republican Party of New Mexico, you can do that by going to the website. It's newmexico.gop. The party also has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is @NewMexicoGOP. If you would like to talk to someone in person, maybe volunteer some time, you can do that by calling party headquarters at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you again next week, right here on Inside New Mexico.